Hey guys, it's Chris and Carly back with you during our COVID-19 time. This is an update, a check-in. Carly, if you would, chill up real quick.
Gotta stay clean.
Gotta stay clean, yeah, yeah. My hands have never been more clean nor cracked and dry as they have been in the last few weeks. So checking in, everything going good?
Yeah, we're hanging in there. Definitely the last time we talked through video, it's just different. Not what we expected. And I don't know if we knew to expect anything, but we're doing the best we can. And I think that's how everyone probably feels about this time.
Yeah, we're the same way. And as we were prepping for this episode, that was something that kind of came to light is when we recorded last, it was very much about trying to quickly adjust to this new normal of what are some things that are going to kind of help us move through this. But for a lot of us, I'd say for most of us now, we're right in the middle of, we hope, this kind of quarantine, this lockdown, this real disruption from daily life. And so I feel like we have a little more experience with this now, don't we? Than we did.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Right. And so last time really was about trying to kind of almost brace ourselves for what was to come. And by no means are we experts, but we feel like we know a little bit more now about how this lifestyle is going than we did 3 weeks ago when we recorded last. But especially us as helpers, how we take care of ourselves and how we teach our teenagers and our kids to take care of themselves through this time, I think has shifted a little bit. That's kind of what we want to talk about today.
Right. Before we started recording, we were just talking about last time. We didn't know how long this was going to go, or at the time it was 2 weeks. And now that continues to be stretched. And so we're just kind of talking about how can we reevaluate our expectations of not change them completely, but things like keep your same routine and have your kids keep their same school routine is probably not realistic anymore. They're probably not going to want to get up at 7:30 and get dressed and shower and all the things and sit at a desk. And so the longer this goes and some of the novelty of it wears off, we just wanted to talk about the things that are really important to keep in your schedule and while also being flexible.
And we think this is important too, because I think your student is going to notice this from you, that you're making certain things priorities. And if you have a teenager in your house, you know you're not going to make them do anything with this. But I think by modeling, hey, these are some things that are keeping me sane right now. Here's how I'm adapting and not wasting my days away in misery, but actually trying to get some things done that are productive. I think these kind of five things we're going to talk through will really help out with that. For the first one, for me, Carly, and we talked about this a little bit earlier about how important this is. And I heard this on a different podcast, and I've always known this about myself. But physical activity, physical movement is a real key to any daily routine. And I'm not talking about, you know, I work out 1 or 2 days a week, but actually moving your body daily in some form or fashion, depending on what your body is able to keep up with. Brene Brown had this great podcast where she talked about how, especially in days of stress and trauma, your body literally hangs on to all that stuff. Like it's physically a part of you. Mm. And until you move, until you can actually kind of exercise and get that stuff out, get your heart rate up, that will continue to stick with you. And it's something that needs to be done daily.
Right. And I think I have an Apple Watch, and so it reminds me if I haven't moved in an hour. Mm-hmm. And that's real depressing because a lot of times I'm moving, especially with a toddler, all the time. But there have been times during this where I feel like emotionally and mentally I'm so exhausted that not wanting to get up and move is a thing. But the days where I don't move, I notice it. Mm-hmm. We look forward to walks as a family just to get out and move around and get out of the house. And so when it's been rainy or cold or the weather hasn't been great, man, I feel that. And for the next few days until I get back out and start moving, I can notice a big difference in my patients. I can notice a big difference in other areas of health if my physical health is not up. And so I think that's huge. It doesn't have to be a hard workout. It doesn't have to be a huge thing, but at least get up, walk around your house, walk outside, take a lap around your backyard, whatever you can do to move.
I know for me, it's been in the evenings after the kids go down, I'll pop in my headphones and go listen to a long podcast and just walk around our neighborhood and kind of watch the sun go down. And that really helps out a lot. A lot of it depends on when you, you know, throughout your day can work out, or if you have the luxury, you know, you feel like you work out at the best time. So for my wife, she's an early riser and she loves to go out there and hit it hard early in the morning. And I don't have that in me. And so it has to be a different time of day for me, but, and that's, the physical motion, is crucial if you're going to get through this, and making that a part of every day, through this quarantine. Carly, something else we could be, thinking about.
Right. So one of the other things, and this encompasses a lot of things, but, mindful moments of what can you do to be intentional, mindful. So that includes things like spirituality, if that is important to you in your house, things like finding a church service or reading your Bible or listening to a podcast. I've been doing daily devotionals with our church. When I was telling Chris this morning, I have not been super patient with my kids, but I also missed the Devo this morning. And I think there's a correlation there. But if you're not spiritual, your family isn't, maybe it's meditation. But finding something to really recenter yourself, especially if you can do it in the morning, that's helpful. But anytime throughout the day is really a big deal as well.
Yeah, I know. Depending on where you are on all this, you know, if you are a spiritual person, engaging in lament, there's a lot of great podcasts. Now, Rob Bell's doing a really good series on lament right now, and just in doing that right in the middle of all this, talking about just experiencing the loss of what it is that we used to have, and acknowledging that, and you know, yelling at God a little bit if you need to, and that's all part of that lament cycle. It's okay to, and through these things, we give ourselves permission to say it's okay not to be okay during this, but also kind of staying in touch with your physical self. And if you do meditation very much is about kind of connecting your brain to your body, to where you're more mindful of how you're actually feeling. Cause there's sometimes, I know my personality type, I will get well into my day and realize I just don't feel very good, or I've got a lot of stress right here because my stress carries on my belly. And being able to connect to that and say, okay, now I know how I'm feeling. I can deal with the other things a lot better.
Right. Well, and I think I think alone time is important too, whether you're meditating or not. There have been days where I'll get in the car just to go pick up food or something and realize this is the first time in maybe 3 days that I have been alone, truly alone. And so finding time, to maybe say to your spouse, hey, I just need to go to the room for 30 minutes and be by myself. Mm-hmm. Something like that is important, but realizing your teenagers need that too. Mm-hmm. Family time is huge, but let them go be by themselves for some time. Maybe that is connected to physical activity and it's taking a walk. Maybe they need to go just lay down in their room and be by themselves. But making room for alone time and showing them that it's okay to need that as well. A lot of times teenagers have a really hard time being alone, because they're often not. They always have their cell phone. They like being around friends. They like being busy, but it's also important to take time for yourself.
Mm-hmm. We posted an article on our Teen Life, our Facebook group. It's from the Washington Post, where they're talking about the long walk being the spirit, the sanity for the teenager now, because mom and dad are both home working. The news is on, everyone's tense. And they talked about this young lady who just left the house to go take a walk and left her cell phone at home. And, I think it's hard to be alone just in your room. But I think it's much easier to be alone without your cell phone when you're walking and you're outside and you're able to notice things and actually smell the air and breathe. And, you know, whenever I walk with my boys now, I've told them, hey, I need you by the end of this walk to come back with three observations, or three things that you see. And so it kind of keeps their eyes open and noticing and engaged, and having some time of silence themselves is really, really helpful during this time. I think kind of one last piece of this this mindfulness journey is, and we're going to cover this a little bit more as we start seeing more light at the end of the tunnel with this, but about hopefulness in a time that kind of feels a little hopeless, being able to cultivate that through your times of mindfulness. One of the things, and I don't know when I started doing this, but, you know, leading support groups with Teen Life, a long time ago, I always started my groups, especially with my kids from hard places, kids who are like incarcerated or kids who are in the system. I would ask them at the beginning of the groups, give me your name. And I say, tell me one good thing that's going on with your day. Even if it's really small. And so some of the times those guys would say stuff like, you know what? I'm alive. I got out of bed this morning, or if they're at school, like I actually made it to school today, which all seem like such simple things. But when you're in the middle of a time like this, the simple things become amplified, which is what we're talking about here. When you think about what's one good thing going on with your day. So Carly, I'll ask you, as we wrap up this mindfulness time, what's one good thing going on with your day?
Well, this is coming last night. My husband and I started a puzzle, which we've gotten to that point in quarantine officially where we're trying to do a puzzle together.
The puzzle phase.
But yes, exactly. We have entered puzzle phase, but I'm just excited. It's something that we can do together, but that isn't just sitting and watching something, watching TV, or watching kids. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to doing something with my hands and something that is small, but a little tedious because sometimes you need that, just a break. And so that's something good that I'm looking forward to. But what about you, Chris? What's something good that's going on right now?
I had a conversation with my dad this morning. We had this, that's one cool thing is, you know, you just get to talk to your loved ones more. And so that's been, we're all very busy people in my family. And so we're talking a lot more. I've enjoyed that. But out of that, we've had a longstanding family vacation in Colorado in July. We talked about it for almost a year now. And my dad sent a text last night and said, hey, you know, just want to be sure we have a couple weeks left before we might need to cancel this thing. Do we still want to do it? And so it was good to get on the phone with him and emphatically say, no, you're not going to cancel that. something will have had to go horribly, horribly wrong if we cannot drive to Colorado to stay at Airbnb as a family. Right. And so it was good to think about that future of being able to go and be with my family for a week and spend time in the mountains of Colorado in the summertime, which is always a very peaceful place for us. But that was good to have that conversation because I also thought about what if I had to call and tell him, man, you should probably cancel it. What a bummer that would have been, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really good thing that helped me out today for sure.
Right. So we want to encourage you to ask a teenager, especially if you have a teen in your life, ask him what's something good that's going on right now.
So Carly, next on the list is self-care. And we've talked about this some. You probably heard a lot of this talked about online and kind of what do those things mean? But we really want to drill down just to kind of the really simple things that we probably aren't really doing very well. and I know for me, sometimes it's, when's the last time I showered? and that's a pretty good question to ask yourself at some point in the day.
Did you put deodorant on?
Yeah. When's the last time you brushed your teeth? You know, it's the things that are super important because we're all just kind of getting to that point where, you know, we see all of our gray hairs and we see all the things. We're pretty basic at this point. But it is important that we take care of the things that do add some normalcy and really refreshment, you know? And that is, you know, taking a shower, putting some clothes on that, you know, cover more of your body than your pajamas and that kind of stuff. But you know, we kind of say that
changing your pajamas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. new pajamas really make a big difference.
Clean, smell good.
Yeah. Yeah. So self-care is a crucial part of any of these good days. And remember just to kind of come back, we're talking about not thinking so much about the rigidity of a schedule, but just the things that kind of keep you sane on these day-to-day groundhog days has been compared to Shower, brush your teeth, make sure you're taking the medicines and vitamins you should be taking. I know for me, like I've actually been trying to pay attention to this a lot more in the last week or so, and I haven't been better in a while. If you know, actually taking my vitamins and brushing and flossing and all the things that are really important, it's been nice. I'm actually doing that more and taking better care of myself that way.
Right, and I think too, and there's balance here, but I think when this first started, part of me was like, man, everything has gotten taken away. So any small thing, any treat we can get, was welcome. We were making cookies like every single night here. We're having popcorn movie nights every single night, which is not a bad thing. But some self-care is also making sure you eat a vegetable every now and then, or making sure that you're putting things in your body that are good for you, while also making room for treats and making room for a time where, hey, let's get out and drive through and get an ice cream cone because we haven't had that in a while. But also making room for take care of everything, which also means health and what you're putting in your body.
You know, and some of this goes back to the mindfulness, you know, with if you do spend some time more alone, kind of being more in touch with your physical body, like, you know, meditation is taking note of, hey, my head really hurts, or my stomach doesn't feel right. Think about what you've been eating or what you've been doing with your time. Have you been drinking water? Have you been doing all the things that really help you with that? That's why checking in with your body is such a huge thing on this. So Carly, talk to us a little bit about our fourth item, tech breaks.
Right. So we talked about this a little bit and with mindful moments, but right now when technology is the only way we can connect, it's always there. I mean, I rarely ever have my phone off. I sleep with it by my bed. I'm doing Zoom calls to talk to friends. I'm watching TV. It's always on in the background. And none of those things are bad because they do help us stay connected, but it's so important for you and your teenager to take a tech break, whatever that looks like for you, but put your phone up. We talked about reading a book. Have you done that where you have nothing else on? And to escape and not be connected to a device is super freeing. I've been getting through books crazy fast because it's a great time to put my phone on Do Not Disturb at night and check out and not have that tech on. But encourage your students, like we talked about earlier, maybe that's taking a walk and leaving their phone here. Or maybe that's having a game night and saying, everyone put phones in the middle of the table or put them in a different room. And we're going to connect not just over technology, but in person as well.
Yeah, the technology thing has become more draining than I thought it was going to be during this time. Some of the things about crisis like this, it brings out the best and it kind of amplifies some of the worst stuff about you. Like I love staying in touch and reading the news and keep up social media. Just kind of don't want to miss out on anything. And I find myself, how long have I been reading this today? You know, but to your point about talking and walking and keeping a tech free time. It was last week. I don't have a teenager yet. I've got a 9-year-old, but he's starting to exhibit some teenage qualities. I noticed he was a little extra mopey. Something was up. And so it was kind of on a whim. So, hey, it was a time where my wife was home and my two littles were there and everyone was kind of settled. I'm like, hey, let's just go on a walk, me and you. And we went and we took two long laps around our neighborhood. And, he's still not able to really articulate how he's feeling. He's trying. But just in that time, we just talked about things. And when we came back, in a much, I mean, for me too, I'd left my phone at home too. And, we both knew it was just the two of us and we were just enjoying the time. And that was a really important time, I believe, for us to be able to connect with each other, just take a walk together.
Right. So definitely take that time to carve out. And then we have one more, Chris, if you want to talk about our last.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, one of the ways that can kind of keep us sane during this time is to think outside of ourselves. And I think that all of these kind of build up to this where, you're taking care of yourself physically and mentally and spiritually. You're taking care of, just the basic self-care stuff. You're, carving some time out to be tech-free. And I think it builds to this sense of gratitude and generosity. And we talk about this a lot on our podcast about the importance of this. But what are the special ways that you can be generous during a time of crisis? And I don't necessarily mean just monetarily, like donating to a nonprofit or a church, but what do you have that is unique to you that you're able to give out? Carly, talk a little about some things you've seen.
All right. So this week, Easter being a big deal, we saw so much generosity, and it can be little things. Of one of our friends mailed us a letter that her daughter had written for our son. And so in the toddler perspective, it was a coloring page, but it could be just a note. Put a note in the mail of, hey, I'm thinking about you. I hope you're doing well. Getting physical mail is really special and really cool, especially when we're not always used to getting something that's not junk mail. Little things like, and this is, we'll have to change because it's not Easter anymore, but we had some friends come and put Easter eggs in our front yard just as a surprise. If that's being generous with their time, but also just something fun for us to do. So maybe that's going and doing something fun in a neighbor's yard. Maybe that's dropping off some baked goods or a snack that you picked up. But something to tell people, hey, I'm thinking about you.
We ended up doing something that has kind of turned into a deal with the Robies. We had actually one of our Teen Life employees, they moved and, you know, they moved like literally right in the middle of all this stuff. And so, you know, what ends up being, you know, what's supposed to be a joyful time was kind of a downer, you know, to move and not be able to have anyone over. Mm-hmm. And so we just decided we're going to, on a Sunday morning, just bring them some cinnamon rolls. And my father-in-law makes this really good bacon. And
it's so good.
Yeah. So what ended up happening was we did that, not thinking much of it, and then just got just vociferous thank yous. And like, this meant this the world. Like, it was bacon and cinnamon rolls, you know? And so we went and looked back in our stock of bacon. And what we'd forgotten is that literally every time we see our in-laws, he gives us more bacon. And so we had like a ton of bacon. Like, we should maybe use this opportunity to share a lot of what we have. Cause you know, it's more bacon than we can consume. And so for like, I think the past four Sundays, it's just something we wake up and we actually have a friend of ours who's a baker, has a little side business, and she bakes these cinnamon rolls and we cook bacon and we just drop them off. And it's brought a lot of joy to people and it's cathartic for us as a family. And I don't know how long we'll be able to keep doing it, but you know, it's something that we can do that is sharing of our abundance and has made a big difference. It can be as simple as bacon, guys.
Right. And so just doing something as a family, but to get outside of yourself, even things like today, me and my family went and dropped off some extra groceries that we had at a food pantry. Every time we go to the store, we get anything that we can, but the grocery stores are they're stocked. And so I'm not worried about not getting to get stuff, but we had, I'm not even kidding, so much macaroni and cheese because that is what my toddler loves. And so taking some macaroni and cheese to a food pantry. So look around. Could you add a couple things to your cart next time you go get a grocery pickup and go give that to someone else who needs it? Could you ask who needs toilet paper? And if you have some extra, drop it off. Whatever it is, it can be super small, maybe once a week or whatever that looks like for your family. But just we encourage you to be generous during this time.
Yeah, so we hope you're doing well. First of all, this has changed so much of our lives, and we believe it's going to change things for a long time. And I think during these times we can identify what's important, and by our example, show our teenagers what's important. That's the stuff that's really going to last after this. Yeah, we'll be scrambling to get back to regular life and all that kind of stuff, but we're going to remember these things. 2-3 months from now, of how important these things were to get us through times where we didn't really have a whole lot of choices. And I hope that we don't forget how important these things are whenever we do have some of our choices back, how important it is to be generous, to be mindful, to take care of our bodies, to take care of our relationships, the real basic things that get us through. Carly, any closing words before we get out of here?
No, we hope you hang in there. Everyone is doing the best that they can. And we said that at the beginning, but hang in there and do what you can to make this time memorable Look to the future, but don't only be planning for that. But let's make this time intentional and be mindful of that as well.
All right, y'all hang in there.